read for our lesson this morning from the prophecy of Ezekiel. And we'll read together chapters 1 and 2. The prophecy of Ezekiel, chapters 1 and 2. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the 5th day of the month, which is the 5th year of the king Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Kibar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself. And a brightness was about him, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. And out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the colour of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wing on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. And they four had the face of an ox on the left side. And they four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward. Whither the spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps, it went up and down among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the colour of a beryl. And they four had one likeness. And their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Whither was their spirit to go? And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the colour of a terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two, which covered on this side. Every one had two, which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it, upon it. And I saw as the colour of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. And the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard the voice of one that spake. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Well, may the Lord bless his own word unto our souls. Amen. Complete dependence upon the Lord for all needed help. This morning, wish to direct your very prayerful attention to the prophecy of Ezekiel. And this morning, considering the words of our text, which are found from verse 15 to the end of verse 21, this vision of the wheels. From verse 15 to the end of verse 21, I shall read the words through just the once. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the colour of a beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. And their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. The name Ezekiel means whom Jehovah will strengthen. And you may be well aware that particularly in Old Testament days, a man's name said either something about his character, about his occupation, or about the ministry that he was engaged in. And this man, Ezekiel, as was the case throughout Israel's history, was one who was raised up to preach what was to the masses a very unpopular message. But nevertheless, it's been God's way in Old Testament times and in New, that whenever he has anything to say unto his people, he always sends a preacher. He always sends a prophet here in the Old Testament days to remind the people of the Lord God Jehovah and of the coming Messiah, the great hope that was set before them. Now, of course, we in this latter day have the scriptures of truth that record not only the coming of the Messiah and of his ministry, but before us there is the great hope that he will yet come again unto the earth. Now, Ezekiel was raised to preach a little over 600 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus himself. And he ministered in the time of that captivity. And we can see here that the Lord favored Ezekiel with a vision. And the vision that we see is very similar. Of course, some of the details are identical to that vision which John saw in the book of Revelation, as is recorded in chapter 4. We have this vision of the four beasts. Now, we have to be careful here, of course, because in our modern English parlance, the term beast has a negative connotation. But of course, here we're meaning a positive creature, a positive beast, a positive force for the gospel. And what are these four beasts but gospel preachers? If the Lord will, we'll consider some of the details of as is found in the book of Revelation this evening. But we can see the four faces of the four beasts. What are they? Well, they have the face of a man. That which is compassionate. Ezekiel was raised to preach unto the people, but he had understanding. That which is, as Paul describes, easily to be entreated. Ezekiel came preaching unto those who had need. He was aware of that need. He was sensitive to that need. They also had the face of a lion, which represents boldness. Living in Western society, it's very easy to forget. Living in an ordered fashion, in comparison to many, the opposition and the suppression of the truth that would be felt. Perhaps some of you have been to such a place. Boldness is needed to preach the gospel at any time, but particularly when there is such opposition from so many quarters. Boldness to say that which is not necessarily popular at all. Even in this, I mention this as an aside, somebody who's quite well known in the evangelical world came as a visitor to Portsmouth, who will remain nameless. And they went to lunch with our deacon, and the conversation went to the preaching and the ministry and the regularity of it and this sort of thing. And this man said, I couldn't preach like that. So he said, what do you mean? He said, well, the people wouldn't stand it. Dear soul, such is the day that we live. Boldness is required to preach faithfully. We have to remember we're not commanded to be successful, we're commanded to be faithful. The face of an ox, that which is strong. Strength is needed. Strength is needed in the gospel church to continue. And be strong in our determination for God's cause. Strong in our determination to continue. It's very easy to be defeatist or complacent. But strength is needed in the gospel work. And also we have that face of an eagle. That which not only is aware of the needs of the Lord's church here below, but of necessity, communion with heaven. To soar as an eagle between heaven and earth. And thus, Ezekiel is favored with this vision. And we can see here, he then has this sight of the wheels that we have before us in our text in verse 15. Now the wheels have been likened either to the intricacies in the inside of a watch or to that of a chariot. For the most part, I favour the latter, because this is indeed the ride of victory, as it were. This is the moving forward in God's name and in God's cause. Now I beheld the living creatures. Behold, remember that word behold in the scripture can never be underestimated. It is there to draw our attention to a particular matter or circumstance. Behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. You may say, what on earth does this mean? Well, the vision that is set before us is that vision which is expressed doctrinally in that hymn that we've just sang by William Cooper. It is indeed the doctrine of providence. If you have never read Flavel's book, The Mystery of Providence, I would exhort you to do so. It's a very easy book to read, and it is full of gospel truth. The wheel that turns, one wheel. The Lord's will upon this earth is being done. What William Cooper expressed there, God is his own interpreter and he will make it plain. Here we can see this one wheel turning. And notice, this is what is so stark here. Notice the closeness of the living creatures with the four faces to this wheel. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says this, I endure all things for mine elect's sake. Everything that happens in this world happens for the salvation of God's elect and to the praise and the glory of his name everything. Everything. And here we can see the plan of salvation that is set before Ezekiel here. One wheel by the living creatures with these four faces. Now, the four faces are represented in the four corners of the earth. The gospel would indeed go to the Gentile people. Most of us, if not all of us, here this morning are Gentiles. And of course, Ezekiel here is only bearing out that which Isaiah had said, I will call a people who are not a people. What Hosea was to minister. What many of the Old Testament prophets and preachers were to declare, that his name would be great amongst the Gentiles. The four faces, the four corners of the earth. Now, in verse 16, we see the intricacies. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the colour of a beryl. Well, the beryl is very often expressed, and we have to remember that the exegesis that we have here in the scripture has to be taken spiritually in respect of its understanding and its application. The colour of beryl, that stone often represented the sea. The vastness of the sea, two-thirds of the earth, we understand, is covered by the sea. And the sea is that which must be of necessity respected. One example of such, when we last year were favoured to visit the island of Nevis, you'll find groups of monkeys will gather together. And they were brought there by the colonial English shortly after Christopher Columbus came. And the reason for their arrival was nothing other than the merchandise that took place by, in those days, of course, by sea. It was very common for men to be knocked off course. Men were very fearful of the unpredictable effects of the sea, and thus the monkey could smell out the land perhaps 2 or 3 days away, and it would give the mariners hope, perhaps when they were losing their senses through lack of food and nourishment. The sea has always been that which has been expressed as powerful, unpredictable, and intricate through the eyes of man. The wheels here, like the colour of a beryl, vast, intricate. For us, naturally speaking, we know not what a day may bring forth. But the Lord is sovereign over all these things. Wheels having the colour of a beryl. Innumerable. When you think of a wheel, when it turns, it can only go, it doesn't have to go very fast before we lose sight of that which is before us. But the mercy is we do see the whole picture. We do see the whole picture. We don't see the intricacies and the inworkings of the wheels within the wheels. But we do see the overall picture, and here it is, a vast picture. The Lord is working everything according to his sovereign purpose. And even today, in a day when man likes to think he can control everything, he can't do that when it comes to the sea. He's no power over the waves. And there is, of course, the report of the Titanic, when allegedly the captain expressed, uttered that great blasphemy that God himself could not sink this ship, it went down. Solemn, isn't it? But it went down. The Lord will have his way. But the mercy is here, of course. Again, we come back to the gospel. Preachers, they four had one likeness. Now, this is the likeness, of course, of Christ. Gospel preachers, no matter what denomination they may be from, no matter what nation they may be from, what station of life they may be from, like all Christians, they all have one likeness. There is one great theme, one commonality, one feature that runs through them all, that transcends all these external things. It is the one likeness, the likeness to Christ himself. And of course here, and this is what we must never forget, Ezekiel was to make known the hope of Israel by the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. His was one message. The New Testament apostles, theirs was one message. And our message today is one message. The one message of Holy Scripture is that there is indeed one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And thus, if we are to be found in him, if we are to be conformed to his image, it is in that one likeness. And their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. This is a glorious statement. A glorious statement. Now, a number of the expressions that we have in our English language today, you may be aware, comes from the Authorized Version. And that British term, wheels within wheels, I believe has its origin within this chapter and within this text. The Lord's providence, the Lord's governance, the Lord's ways are so complex, they are so intricate, but notice this. They were, as it were, a wheel within the middle of a wheel. All the purposes of the Lord redound unto his honor and his glory and his name, which will be praised. Bringing this to an experiential application, can you not, in your life, think of a situation that was turned absolutely upside down just for you? That is what the Lord does for his people. He does everything for his elect, everything for his church, everything for his people. And thus those of whom we come into contact with, those, whether it be in our secular lives at work, or our secular occupations, whether it be our relatives, whether it be those of whom we perhaps are acquainted with through other means, they're all to make the Lord's people vessels unto honour, meet for the Master's use. And I don't simply mean the agreeable things. Naturally speaking, I'm also considering those to be the disagreeable things. We have to remember the words of the Apostle, that all things, not some things, all things work together for good. It doesn't say to every man indiscriminately. It says to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now the question is this. Dear soul, this morning, are you and I part of his will? Are you and I in his purpose? Have you and I tasted, handled, and felt of these things? Now, we've been favoured, every one of us, to be brought under a gospel ministry. We've been favoured, every one of us, that to know something to a greater or lesser degree of the things of Christ. Have they been sanctified to us? What effect has it had upon us? And is it, as it were, the centre of our lives? Is it the wheel which works within the wheel? Paul, in expressing these things, is speaking of his will being made known in that well-known first chapter, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are both in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things. Note that, all things, after the counsel of his own will. His own will. Now, when men hear such a thing, they are apt to cry, "Ah, but are we not then making God the author of sin?" Absolutely not. God forbid that we would express such a thing. It's our human tendency to blame our sin on others. Adam did so in the garden. But if we're honest with ourselves, we have to say that our sins are the sins we have committed. We can't blame someone else. But here is the mercy, that even in sin, the Lord is pleased to overrule for his church the sins of his people. And in the end, the Lord uses everything that happens. Everything that happens to us, in the end, for his honour and his glory. Our sins are overruled. They're covered by the blood of the Lamb. In the events of time and sense, are sanctified unto us. The Lord's purposes are beyond us. We cannot reconcile them in our minds, but they're there. They're really there. And thus, it is the means of the gospel that the Lord makes these things known unto us. Now, what a mercy to know the doctrine of providence. What a mercy. Because if we are in a living possession in our souls of this doctrine, and we can't separate providence from grace. The Lord will this evening will consider more of the matter of grace as it respects this doctrine of providence. But this really explains the meaning of life. Secular men, scientists and politicians and what have you, have gone at great lengths to attempt to explain the meaning of life. But they'll never, ever learning but never coming to a knowledge of the truth, they will never understand these things. You see, the Lord is bringing in his church. He is saving his people. And thus, and we can see it with Joseph, can't we? He's one example. Those that would have taken him meant it for evil, but the Lord meant it for his good. And here we can see the wheels turning. The Lord working out his purposes. And again, this is borne out by the text. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. In verse 19, whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Whether was their spirit to go? And the wheels were lifted up over and against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Wherever the Lord goes, he sends his servants, and the spirit accompanies them. And the Lord sends his people a preacher. And to the preacher, he sends to them a people. This is the Lord's ordered way. And thus, from time to time, we come across somebody who will say to us, well, I've no need to attend the Lord's house. I can worship the Lord at home. Let me tell you this. If you won't worship him in his house, you won't worship him anywhere else. That's the reality of it. And thus we can see the workings here of the gospel. In Gatsby's we have a glorious hymn, "The fictitious power of chance and fortune I defy. My life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye." It's expressed so succinctly, isn't it? We don't believe in chance. We don't believe in accidents. We don't believe that anything happens by luck. The Lord has a purpose, and here it is intrinsically, it is infused, it is brought together with that purpose of the gospel. This is how the Lord works. This is how the Lord works. And my prayer is that the Lord will intervene in our lives. See, this is what we need, isn't it? Is the Lord, through the sanctifying effect of the gospel, to be made known in our lives, to see his hand go before us. The Lord said to the disciples, "Ye shall not know now, but ye shall know hereafter." And it's only when we look back, when we can see the things that have happened to us, and perhaps at the time they were very painful. Perhaps at the time they were mysterious. But if they're really sanctified to our souls, then we can say, "My Jesus hath done all things well." Well, I'll leave it there for this morning. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen. One and such man who knew the reality of providence and of a pilgrimage journey was one John Bunyan, who made it known in this almost autobiographical hymn in 745, as found in our hymn book. "Who would true valour see? Let him come hither. One here will constant be, come wind, come weather. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent his first avowed intent to be a pilgrim." Hymn 745. Lord, we do seek that thou wouldest make thy hand known in our lives. Sanctify the events of life unto us. No, we do ask that as we depart, thou wouldst go with us. Bring us again to the evening sacrifice with hope and expectancy that thou wilt meet with us. We seek these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.